could do that.
Since Moses has given you the law, yet not one of you does the law, why do you seek to kill me? On the video they do. I don't know why. No, this, it must have happened after. The multitude answered, answered, "You have a demon. Who seeks to kill you?" Yahshua answered and said to them, "I did one work, and you all marveled because of it. Moses has given you circumcision, not that it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And on the Sabbath, you circumcise the man. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And that seems to be hard for people to do, brother. It's hard for them to judge righteous judgment. Oh, you know what? Yeah. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. These are leaders in Israel. It said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Because these people should have known the law. They should have known. And when we go to stand before Yahweh tomorrow, we know the law that was given. Is it going to have recourse in us? The leaders in Israel may have had the truth compared to the Gentiles, but they tried to justify their sin in putting Yahshua to death. Verse 25, it says, "Some therefore of them of Jerusalem said, is not this he whom they seek to kill? And lo, he speaks openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the rulers indeed know that this is the Messiah?" And the answer to that question is yes. They knew he was the Messiah. What about us, brethren? Standing before Yahweh. We know Yahshua. Have we surrendered all to him? Verse 27, it says, "However, we know this man from where he is, but when the Messiah comes, no one knows from where he is. Yahshua therefore cried in the temple teaching and saying, you both know me and know from where I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. They sought therefore to take him, and no man laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. But of the multitude, many believed on him, and said, when the Messiah shall come, will he do more signs than those which this man does?" The Pharisees heard the multitude murmuring these things concerning him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to take him. They wanted to take him. Drop down to 45. It says, "The officers therefore came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, why did you not bring him? The officers answered, a man never spoke in this manner." See, they never heard anything like this before. The Pharisees therefore answered them, "Are you also led astray? Has any of the rulers believed on him or of the Pharisees?" And we know the answer is yes. "But the multitude that knows not the law are cursed." That's the leadership. That's the rulers. Nicodemus says to them, he that came to him before, being one of them, one of the Pharisees that believed on Yahshua, "Does our law judge a man except it first hear from himself and knows what he does?" They answered and said to him, "Are you also of Galilee? Search and see that out of Galilee arises no prophet." And we know that wasn't true, because Jonah was from Galilee, as well as Nahum. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, we'll look at verses 20 on down through 25. It says, "Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Yahshua." But the governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two were you that I release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do to Yahshua, who is called the Messiah?" They all said, "Let him be impaled." And he said, "What evil has he done?" But they cried out greatly, saying, "Let him be impaled." So when Pilate saw that he prevailed nothing, but rather that a tumult was arising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this righteous man. See you to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." So they wanted to take responsibility, the leaders of Israel, for the blood of Yahshua. John chapter 12. Start in verse 37. John 12, 37. Actually, start in 35. Oops, sorry about that. 33. It says, "But he said, signifying by what manner of death he should die. The multitude therefore answered him, 'We have heard out of the law that the Messiah remains forever. How do you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?' Yahshua therefore said to them, 'Yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness overtake you not. And he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes.'" And that's true, brethren. Most people today don't know what direction they're going in. "While you have the light, believe on the light, that you may become sons of the light. These things spoke Yahshua, and he departed and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke: 'Yahweh, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed?'" The arm of Yahweh is what gets things done. That was Yahshua the Messiah. "For this cause they could not believe, for that Isaiah said again, 'He has blinded their eyes and he has hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and should turn and I should heal them.' These things said Isaiah, because he saw his glory, and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, even of the rulers, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of Yahweh." What about us, brethren? Like I said, we're going to be standing before Yahweh. Are we willing to empty ourselves like Yahshua? Verse 44, Yahshua cried and said, "He that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that beholds me beholds him that sent me. I have come a light into the world, that whoever believes on me may not remain in the darkness. And if any man hears my sayings and keeps them not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." That's why Yahshua came, to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my sayings has one that judges him. The word that I spoke, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I spoke not from myself, but the Father that sent me. He that has given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life eternal. That's the end result, brethren. The things therefore which I speak, even as the Father has said to me, so I speak. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. I'm going to start in verse 1. It's a very familiar passage about the scribes and Pharisees. But it's about us as well, brethren, because we're going to be standing before Yahweh. That's what Pentecost is about. It's another opportunity to come before Yahweh. Verse 1, it says, then spoke Yahshua to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. All things, therefore, whatever they bid you, these do it observe, but do not you after their works. For they say and do not. Yes, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their finger. But all their works they do to be seen of men. For they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the chief place at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and the salutations in the marketplace, and to be called of men rabbi. We know what that's about. We know. But be you not called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all you are brethren. And call no man your father on the earth, for one is your father, even he who is in heaven. Neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even the Messiah. But he that is great among you shall be your servant. That's hard for people to do. But that's what Yahshua did. He emptied himself. He became a servant of us all. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled. And whoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven against men. For you enter not in yourselves, neither suffer you that are entering in to enter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses. Even for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he has become so, you make him twofold more a son of Gehenna than yourself. Woe to you, blind guides, that say, whoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever shall swear by the goal of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, which is greater, the goal or the temple that has sanctified the goal? And whoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever shall swear by the gift that is upon it, he is a debtor. You blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? He therefore that swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. And he that swears by the temple swears by it and by him that dwells in it. And he that swears by the heaven swears by the throne of Elohim and by him that sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and anise and cumin and have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. But these you ought to have done and not to have left the other undone. You blind guides that strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside they are full of extortion and excess. You blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup and the platter, and then the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like the whited sepulchres, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets and garnish the tombs of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we should not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore you witness to yourselves that you are sons of them that killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you offspring of vipers. How shall you escape the judgment of Gehenna? Therefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them shall you kill and impale, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogue and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of Abel the righteous to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you killed between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killed the prophets and stones them that are sent to her, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wing, and you would not. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall not see me from this time, till you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. And we know that there's a ban against the name. So they're not saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. They don't want you to use that name. But we know that it's only salvation in the name of Yahshua. Matthew 22, right across the page, verse 15. Says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might ensnare him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of Yahweh in truth and care not for anyone, for you regard not the persons of men. The person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Yahshua perceived their wickedness and said, why do you make trial of me, you hypocrite? Show me the tribute money. And they brought to him a denarius. And he said to them, whose is the image in the superscription? And they said to him, Caesar's. Then said he to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to Yahweh the things that are Yahweh. And when they heard it, they marveled and left him and went away. Brethren, we can all play games with Yahweh, but you're only going to be fooling yourself. Yahshua knows our every weakness. If it is nicotine, surrender it. He can overcome it. If it's drugs, surrender it. He can overcome it. If it's sex, surrender it. He can overcome it. Whatever your sin is, brethren, he can overcome it. But you must surrender, because if you don't, you will destroy yourself. And that's what Satan wants. He's looking for any way to get in, any weakness. He'll come through your children. He'll come through your other spouse, whether it's husband or wife. He'll come through whatever family member he can come through to get to you. You cannot do it alone. He died for all our sins. Don't hang on to them. They will only take you down ask Almighty Yahweh to open your spiritual eyes to see just how the enemy is using you or attempting to use you. When we surrender to Yahweh, it means to abide in a continual dependence upon Him. Become nothing. Begin to understand that you are nothing but an earthen vessel into which Yahweh will shine down the treasure of His love. Get rid of the big ego, brethren. We bring nothing to the table. Blessed is the man or woman who knows what it is to be nothing, to be an empty vessel for Yahweh's use. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 18. Says, servants, be in subjection to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the forward. For this is acceptable if for conscience toward Yahweh a man endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you sin you are buffeted? You shall take it patiently. We're supposed to. But if when you do well and suffer and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with Yahweh. For to this were you called, because the Messiah also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And that's what we have to do, brother. Who through his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Count on Yahweh, brethren, to do everything you can desire of him. Honor Yahweh and believe that he asks nothing from you but what he is first going to give. And then come praise and surrender to him. That's what we need to do, brethren. We need to praise and surrender to Yahweh. You think about it. Whatever it is that has come between you and Almighty Yahweh, you need to surrender it. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Just turn over the page. Remember that we're coming. We're going to be standing before Yahweh. That's what this is about, standing before Yahweh. Israel had to come and stand before Yahweh to receive the law. That's what was given on Pentecost, as well as the Holy Spirit was given when they were all gathered together in one place. But this is where we'll close, in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 12. It says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which comes upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened to you. But insomuch as you are partakers of the Messiah's suffering, rejoice, that at the revelation of his glory you may also rejoice with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of the Messiah, you are blessed because the glorious Spirit of Yahweh rests upon you. For let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or a meddler in other men's matters. But if a man suffer as a despised believer, let him not be ashamed, because we're going to be doing his will. But let him glorify Yahweh in this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of Elohim. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that do not obey the good tidings of Yahweh? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the lawless and sinner appear? Therefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit their souls in well-doing to a faithful Creator. Then we're going to drop back to verse 7. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of a sound mind and be sober to prayer. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves. For love covers a multitude of sins, brethren. It covers a multitude of sins. Using hospitality, one to another, without murmuring, according as each has received a gift, ministering it according to yourselves, as good stewards in the manifold grace of Yahweh. If any man speaks, speaking as it were the oracles of Yahweh, if any man ministers, ministering as of the strength which Yahweh supplies, that in all things Yahweh may be glorified through Yahshua the Messiah, whose is the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Brethren, we're going to be standing before Yahweh as Israel did on the day of Pentecost. And Yahweh came down and spoke to them and taught them the Ten Commandments, gave them the law. And then in the apostolic assembly, they stood in one place, they were commanded, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We know that we have to empty ourselves, brethren. Get rid, we have to surrender, get rid of everything that can come between us and Almighty Yahweh that would be a blockage. When we can get to that point where we can empty ourselves, then Yahweh can use us. Then Yahweh can fill us up with His Spirit and His guidance and His teaching and the things that He wants us to do. I'm telling you, rejoice, brethren, because Yahweh is working a work in these last days, and He's blessing this ministry and His people. Like I said, it's very good news about the three congregations that have joined YPTC, but it's even more about the new three brethren that were baptized recently in Beaumont. So we want to continue to pray for Almighty Yahweh's people throughout the world. So at this time, if you rise, we'll have a closing prayer. We'll pray for Yahweh's people. Father Yahweh, again, we come before you on this afternoon's hour. We thank you, Father, for your word and the word made flesh, Yahshua the Messiah, who came and revealed himself as the light of the world. And Father, we know that the Pharisees, for the most part, rejected him, even though they knew he was your son. But many of the Pharisees did believe and followed the apostolic assembly and became a part of it. They emptied themselves from their estate and got rid of their egos. And we ask, Father, today, that you would do the same to each and every one of us, that we would not allow our egos or what we think we know to come between you and us, but that you would humble us and cleanse us as empty vessels of nothing. Fill us up, Father, with your Holy Spirit and humble us that we might be your servants and do your will in these last days. We love you. And we thank you, Father, and that we ask that all your favors and blessings be upon your people. Bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. And again, Father, touch each and every one of our hearts as we come to stand before you as a humble and empty vessel. We ask that you would fill us. In Yahshua's holy name we pray, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.